The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Defense allowed a franchise worst 29.6 points per game last season and also gave up 20 touchdowns on plays with 20 plus yards, which is the worst mark in the NFL. Despite playing in 15 games last season, Ezekiel Elliott posted career lows in rushing yards and rushing TDs. It was also his first season with less than 110 scrimmage yards per game. Dak Prescott returns under a new four-year contract, $160 million after suffering a compound fracture in his ankle in week five. The Cowboys struggled last season without him, averaging 11.5 fewer points per game. Our NFL insider, Kimberly Martin, back with us, and it is ladies first. So let's do this. Kimberly, with Dak returning this season, is he your favorite for comeback player of the year?
Molly, he is. Now, it was close because I was leaning towards Joe Burrow, too, but I think it'll be Dak because based on the fact that I think Dak will come in with that chip. You know, he is that fourth-round QB that was drafted. He is that guy that's always had to prove himself. Look how long it took him to get the money. He finally got the money. I don't think, to Bart's point that he said earlier about, you know, full bellies, you know, I don't think Dak is going to suddenly switch up who he is just because he got paid, because that man had to work and wait to get that money. Now, I think when you look at this team, before Dak got hurt last year, he put up almost 1,900 yards. So, and once he got hurt, I think offensively, he had injuries on the offensive line. Zeke just wasn't who he's supposed to be. And everything sort of, it was ugly. That's as kind of way as I can put it. But this year, I think CeeDee Lamb, if he's more consistent, I think Dak is going to have to be that guy who's going to win you games. Zeke Elliott, don't act like Zeke isn't a part of this. Like, he's got to produce, but Dak is the one that has to hit guys open. He's got CeeDee Lamb, I think, is a great addition. I think getting him the ball, I think with Amari Cooper, I think all these pieces, they have got enough pieces where, like I already said, I think they'll win the division, but I think Dak will be so impressive after last year that he'll be the comeback player.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the betting favorites. Perk, where are you on this?
You know what? Look, I don't want to sound like a cowboy hater, Molly, because I was a lifelong cowboy fan.
Oh,
I ended our relationship two years ago.
Texas.
I ended our relationship 2 years ago. But I'm gonna go with Carson Wentz, right? And I know he's not coming back off of injury, but he's coming back off of pain. And when you think about what Carson Wentz was in Philly, right? He was at the top of the top, and then all of a sudden he hit rock bottom, in my opinion. Losing his starting position to Jalen Hurts during the course of the season, getting all the blame for what was ever going on. Now he has a change of scenery. He's going back with a familiar coach, one of the coaches he had and Coach Frank, that was one of the guys that he played some of his best football under when Coach Frank was in Philadelphia. You know, so we look at Carson Wentz, he has been very quiet. I feel like he's going to bounce back. Those are the guys that you have to look out for because, he had to self-evaluate himself. Now he gets a new change of scenery, and he has something to prove to the world, right? Because he was the talk of the town in a bad way all throughout NFL. I heard you talk about him, Kimberly. I heard you talk about him, Bart. Everybody talked about him, from Stephen A. to Max to everybody. And he heard that, right? A guy who got paid his money. A guy who was, him and Dak Prescott was in the same division. So I'm rolling with Carson Wentz.
Oh, man, to quote Roy Jones Jr., y'all must have forgot. Did y'all forget who was the baddest man that got hurt last year? A man that rushed for over 1,300 yards and had 1,000 yards receiving his last time healthy? Christian McCaffrey. Did y'all forget what a bad man he was? Account for almost 65% of his team's total offense. You talk about the modern day, like Swiss Army knife, a guy that can line up in a slot and kill you from the slot as a receiver, and a guy that can run in between the tackles. He's a legacy. He's the second McCaffrey in his league. And he doesn't tell you, he is a bad man. And now he has a good quarterback and Sam Darnold, who has something to prove. He has great receivers. You know, Robbie Anderson, they drafted Terrence Marshall from Louisiana. He's a great player. And they have David Moore. So what does that mean? You can't load the box. He gonna get you in space, and he's quick as a hiccup, to quote one of Kendrick's favorite lines.
I'm shocked that, listen, the way, Bart, you started, I really thought you were going to say Saquon, the way you seem to be all in on the Giants, Dimes. I really thought that you were going to, like, really be that homie. Former Jets player going to go and be, you know, all about the Giants this year. But, okay, you said Christian. You surprised me with that one, actually.
I had to keep you in suspense because on Saquon's best day, he ain't Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, I said it. Two tears in a bucket. You know the rest.
All right.
Here's a little pushback. Here's some pushback that I got for you, right? The running back position. When you're talking about a position, right, where a guy get hits the most, a guy that mm-hmm. has to get put in those trenches. And with McCaffrey coming back off of injury, right, we don't know how he's going to be played, right? And when I say that, we don't know how many games he's going to be played. We don't know what's his, like, what the coach's strategy is going to be for him, because when you look at it, right, that's the position in the NFL that takes the most pounding. Am I correct? Besides the offensive line.
But Kendrick, I just told you this guy had 1,000 yards receiving. He's a guy that can line up in slots. And guess who's hitting him then? Little bitty 185 pounds nickelbacks and cornerbacks. So if you want to get him away from the physicality until he's ready to carry the load, then just put him at slot receiver. He's comfortable out there. His dad was a great wide receiver for the Denver Broncos. He knows all the tricks of the trades. I'm telling you, man, he's jacked up on Mountain Dew. I'm telling you, he's shredded like a Julian salad. I'm telling you, Kendrick, this is a guy that is more physical than people give him credit for. He's big, he's put together, but he's quick, man, and he has that football acumen that you want. You can tell that he's the son of a former NFL great.
Kimberly, let me ask you this. How many Super Bowls do you think Dak could win over the next 3 years? Yes, I'm talking the Cowboys and Super Bowls.
3 years? Oh, Molly, that's a very tight window. I don't see them winning this year. One? If I'm being honestly, like, one?
None.
I just think
you want to say none.
Listen, because I might have to cover some Cowboys games, and I don't want Jerry keeping me out of the start. I just think that's too short a win. I feel like they're good enough to win the division. But when you look around the NFC, Bucks, Packers, if Aaron Rodgers is there, you look at Rams, 49ers, and then forget about AFC teams. AFC has about 6-7 teams right now that you could almost pencil into the playoffs. So I'm not bullish on Cowboys winning a Super Bowl. NFC East, sure, I'll give you that.
All right. We're going to leave it there. But, Bart, I do think one thing. You are underestimating, I think, the motivation for Dak Prescott. Because all the contracts, all the personal stuff he went through, all the injury. Remember how disrespected he was? We felt like the Cowboys weren't going to take care. That was all public, like the Aaron Rodgers stuff. To finally get back on the field, and then obviously having Zeke having a terrible season, he's going to want to step it up.
It's just the gauntlet is too hard right now. The NFC has so many good teams. I mean, they're going to be fighting it out with the Arizona Cardinals. People don't realize it. The Arizona Cardinals, you know, got A.J. Green, Rondell Moore. They got J.J. Watt coming back with Chandler Jones, who's been one of the most productive, pass rushers in the game. And they went out and got Rodney Hudson, the best lineman, a best center in the last 10 years. And then you have the opportunity to put him in space. So it's like, it's going to be so hard for them to get through the gauntlet. You think about the NFC right now. It's like the West in the NBA. Yeah. It's hard to get through.
No, you're right. All right, we'll leave it there. Kimberly, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Chris Paul waited 16 years to finally make it to the NBA Finals, but the quest for an NBA championship ended in six games with the All-Star point guard losing out. CP3 has an opt-out option that can make him a free agent this offseason, leaving our very own Mark Spears to speculate. Will Chris Paul run it back with Phoenix with the Suns losing in the finals? The focus turns to the point guard's future. Can LeBron and Lakers be a threat for CP? Now, the Lakers can choose to sign CP3, or there's also been talks of Washington Wizards star Russell Westbrook being a potential candidate to move back home to Los Angeles. I think he's from Long Beach, and a sign-and-trade deal per Mark Spears. So my question to you, Perk, who should the Lakers target, Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook?
Well, you know what? With all due respect, Molly, to CP3, you got to go with the Brody. I'm going with Russell Westbrook. We're talking about a guy that is still in his prime. We're talking about a guy that's one of the most polarizing guys in this league. We saw what he did the second half of the season last season, putting up monster triple-doubles when the Wizards were 1,500 games down from being a 500 team. He carried that team and willed them to the playoffs. Now, it didn't go well because he didn't have the personnel, but you put the Brody back home. It takes pressure off LeBron James, who's getting up in age, going into year 19, and now you have Russell Westbrook, a guy that you could pair with Anthony Davis, a guy that's going to take pressure off of them, a guy that doesn't get enough credit for making others around him better. We're talking about a guy that led the league in assists for three times throughout his career. He led the league this year, right? Russell Westbrook is a guy that can also play off the ball. I know that he can't knock down shots like people want him to, but one thing Russell Westbrook is very good at, is slashing to the basket. He's good at getting out in transition. So if I'm the Lakers, I would really consider targeting Russell Westbrook over CP3.
Perk, I know he the Brody, man, but sometimes he can't hit the ocean if he was in a boat. Right, and what the Lakers need is spacing. Why do they need spacing? Because LeBron is a guy who likes to drive, and also he's going to be driving in transition to where Anthony Davis occupies that real estate. So I want somebody like CP3 that can come down and facilitate, that can take the pressure off, much like Rondo did a couple of seasons ago when they won the championship. It was Rondo's basketball acumen, his ability to get guys lined up in the right place. And I'm not saying that Russell can't do that, but every once in a while, when they're sloughing off and they're trying to double Davis or double LeBron when he decides going to block, I want somebody that can be confident, can knock down the three and not start a fast break on the other end, man, because he's building bricks with his house.
Well, look, first of all, boy, look, let me tell you this. All right, see, people get caught up in the moment, and people tend to forget that Russell Westbrook is a guy that has been to the NBA Finals. Russell Westbrook is a guy that has been to multiple conference finals. Russell Westbrook is battle-tested. Russell Westbrook knows what it takes. I played with Russell Westbrook. I watched him elevate in those moments. Hell, I even watched him give CP3 that work and beat him when he was going against the Los Angeles Clippers. So, look, we all know that the Brody, his weakness is what? Shooting the mid-range. And we said that about Giannis. His weakness is what? Shooting the jump shot, shooting the free throws. But guess what? Giannis proved us all wrong. And when you have that Mamba mentality, which Kobe Bryant only blessed a few with, Giannis was one, Russell Westbrook was another. He blessed them with that because they will to win and not to quit, stop competing, no matter what the circumstances.
No, I appreciate that. And listen, you can't go wrong with either one. I think either one, that they can get ship Kuzman off somewhere, I think is a plus, right? But I think that Chris Paul just gives them a little bit more what they need of a floor general, somebody that can understand the temperature of the game, know when to be aggressive, know how to get in the lane, but also know how to do the little things. And, you know, we're splitting hairs when we're talking about them. Just for my purpose, I think the difference is the fact that I have a little bit more faith in CP3 and being able to open up, hit open shots and spread the court and open everything up. Because the Lakers, you know, when they lost Danny Green, they lost shooters, right? They lost the ability to spread the court, and everybody can pack the defense in. And LeBron is streaky at times as well. So when he's not out there, that gives you another floor general that can get them in their proper sets.
Brooke, let me ask you this. I know the Lakers did try to get CP3 before. If you're Chris Paul, what would you want to do? Would you stay in L.A., stay in Phoenix, or want to go to L.A. with LeBron?
Well, if I'm CP3, I want to go to L.A. Molly, I'm about to turn 37, right? CP3 is about to turn 37. And we all know he wants to top off his career with winning the championship. And you have to put yourself in the best position possible to do that. What is that? Go and team up with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, especially the way that the West is looking right now. The West is wide open. You have Klay Thompson coming back for the Golden State Warriors, but he's coming off an ACL injury and an Achilles tear. I'm not saying he's not going to be Klay. You look at the Utah Jazz. We saw what happened to them this season. The Clippers sent them home, and Kawhi got hurt in the middle of the series. We look at the Los Angeles Clippers. I don't expect Kawhi to be back. So if I'm CP3, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, LeBron James is going to come back healthy. We know that. We know Anthony Davis is going to come back on a mission. We know that he didn't like how he finished the season off. And when we look at what they done in the bubble, if you're CP3, you're like, you know what? I don't need to be a first option guy. I don't need to be a second option guy. But I can be a third option guy, a guy that could come in with the second unit and control the offense and get mine off. But when need be, I could attack. But when I'm on the floor with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, I could be that third option guy and take some pressure off myself.
Mm-hmm. Do the Lakers need CP3 for you to pick them as the favorite? Like right now, would you go Warriors out of the West, or would you take the Lakers even without Chris Paul?
You know what, Molly? Look, I'm going to go with the Lakers, right? I'm going to go with Lakers without Chris Paul just because, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James healthy are just so dominant. And we witnessed that a year ago in the bubble. We watched what they were capable of doing. LeBron James, what averaged a 29-point triple-double. Anthony Davis was putting up Shaq-type numbers. When they're healthy, those two are unguardable, and they can lead that franchise to another championship. Now, if you add CP3, yeah, they're my favorites. I'm not going to go against them. And I know Steph is on the other side of California along with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, but I just can't go against that dynamic duo.
Bart, who you got meeting in the finals? Because obviously this year a lot of injuries got in the way.
Well, it was something weird that happened, right? Vegas picked Golden State to be fourth for the odds. And I'm asking myself, Vegas always knows something. I don't know who's the basketball equivalent World Wide West right now,
yeah.
But I tell you what, they know something. And I said this a long time ago that I thought it would be a great story for Dame Dolla to go back home to Oakland, because I just don't think Portland, you know, matches up with his timeline for his greatness. He's in his eighth year, and you can't take anything for granted. You know, Perk told me yesterday that one of the biggest regrets that Kevin Garnett told him is that he didn't come and find his way to Boston earlier because he felt like he was too loyal to an organization that wasn't loyal to him, that wasn't willing to push the chips in the middle of the table. I think right now, if you think what Dame Dolla, Klay would look, and they have all the ammunition to go out there and make that move, they can give up the seventh overall pick. They can give up Wiggins. They can give up Wiseman. And I think they can make the money match. I think Dame Dolla, the Golden State, is going to put the whole league on. I mean, where are they pulling up from?
But
the logo.
Can that actually happen, Perk?
I believe it can. Why can't it happen? Anything's possible. Golden State's willing to pay the luxury tax. They got money, Molly.
It can happen, Molly. It can. Yeah. I mean, when you look at if Dame wants out, right, and if Portland decides to do right by Dame, right, this is a guy that has carried that organization for 9 years, and he say, hey, I want to go back home to the Bay Area. I want to go to Golden State. Well, Golden State has the assets, and they also have the capital. You could get rid of Andrew Wiggins' contract. You could get rid of Wiseman. They got two lottery picks that they could shuffle in the mix. So you could get back what you could get back a lot if you're the Portland Trail Blazers from the Golden State Warriors and giving up Damian Lillard.
West could get even more interesting. I like that thought experiment. All right, we'll leave it there, guys. CP3 became the first player to lose four best of seven series. He's going to be hungrier than ever. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. The Browns returned to the playoffs last season for the first time since 2003 and punctuated the season with a win over rival Pittsburgh in the wildcard game. Now, Cleveland hopes to go even further this season, obviously behind one of the best rushing attacks in the league, former number one overall pick Baker Mayfield, and their most explosive weapon, Odell Beckham Jr., who's returning from a knee injury that cost him most of last season. Baker sounded optimistic when talking about how Beckham is doing in his recovery. Take a listen.
I mean, about a month ago, I would have said that he looks very, very good, and I know after speaking with him that he feels even better, so I'll let you guys see that for yourselves.
I mean, am I crewed up or what? I don't even know what to do with myself right now. Two-time Super Bowl champ Booger McFarland here with us. Good to see you, Boog. How we doing? How's summer going for you?
Summer is going outstanding. It's hot as fish grease, as Perk would always say down in Beaumont, Texas, so we are doing well.
Okay, good. That's what I like to hear. All right, I want to start with you here, Boog. You tell me this, because it's a huge head-scratcher for me. I know how talented Odell Beckham is, but then it seems like Baker Mayfield plays better without him, and I don't understand it. So will the Baker-Odell marriage actually work now that he's back and healthy?
Yeah, Molly, you know, normally I would say that this would be an issue because you have a superstar wide receiver who wants the football. He's used to getting the football. Chris Carter once famously said that a wide receiver is only about two things, himself and his money. But I think coming off the knee injury is going to humble Odell a little bit because he hasn't been on the field making those explosive plays. So, therefore, he's going to just want to be on the field, get back in the groove, be a team guy. And on top of that, guess what? They had so much success on the field without you. And there's the narrative out there that Baker Mayfield is better. So the franchise is better without you. So if I'm Odell Beckham Jr. and I want to regain my stardom, one, I have to come in and be a team player. I can't come in saying, hey, guys, you can't win without me because you proved last year that you can. So he has to come in and kind of fit in. It doesn't mean that he's got to take a back seat to anyone because he's still a top five receiver in this league when he's healthy. However, he has to know that he's got to fit into the offense and make his plays. So typically this wouldn't work, but coming off the injury, number one, and Cleveland having so much success without him, and on top of that, the expectations, we know that the spotlight is going to be on the Browns. So I think when you put all that together, I think you're going to get a humble Odell, you're going to get a hungry Odell, and you're going to get an Odell that's going to want to stay out of the headlines and make sure that the only headlines he's making are positive with him making plays on the field. So not only can it work, I think it's going to work great, and I think the Browns are one of the teams that a lot of us football experts think are going to go a long, long way in the postseason.
Oh, hey, Boog, are they gonna win the AFC? Are they gonna win their division? Are they gonna win their division, Booger?
I think Baltimore's still the team to beat in that division, Perk. Pittsburgh, I think, still has a long way to go. I think it comes down to Cleveland and Baltimore to win that division.
So, Boog, you're telling me, Boog, you're telling me that a receiver is going to humble themselves. That's like an oxymoron. You talk about the biggest eye guy position in all the land, right? And listen, it's been a perfect marriage when he's not been there, right? Because I think that he believes that he's the best receiver on the team. He may be the best receiver on the team from a talent standpoint, but the heartbeat of that team goes to Jarvis Landry, who got there before him. And everything works smoother because this is a team that really operates a lot better when it goes from the run game and play action pass. And Odell Beckham is not one to live up in the trenches and out there setting the edge and out there doing the dirty work. That's Jarvis Landry. So almost his value isn't as great because you have to take him off the football field. This team best packages Tiger personnel and going through their tight ends who are talented, who can create space and dictate to the defense what type of defense you have to be in. And, you know, we know that if he wouldn't have got hurt last year, Booger, he probably wouldn't be on this team. The problem is you can't cut a guy until he's able to clear waivers. And, you know, and we look at his contract situation, it was a natural out, but now they're stuck with him because until he passes, they can't get rid of him. This is an opportunity for them to trade him and get an asset that they need. For years, he's been asking to go out there out west where he hangs out in the offseason. I believe he has a home out there, right? Could you imagine sending him? Listen, the L.A. is all in. They put their chips all the way in the middle. They lost Cam Akers the other day to Achilles injury. I think that Odell Beckham would be perfect to be traded out there. You know that New England has been taking receipts. Everybody had that smoke, you know, out there. Bill Belichick spent more money in free agency than he's ever spent. Uh-huh. And you know him and Cam is a nice, perfect marriage as well, as they can always use enough explosive weapons out there. And, you know, you also know that New Orleans needs a weapon, somebody opposite of Michael Thomas. So it's a market out there for him. He's a guy that's not going to be in his roster after this year because there's no guaranteed money left on his contract.
Bart, pass it back to me. Pass the baton, big guy. Right, you don't ran with it long enough. Now, here's what I'll say. Hey, thank you. I got it. You know, just like I know, this is a game about players, okay? And so Odell Beckham Jr. is a talent. He is a player. He is a home run maker. So understand that. I get it. And if we really want to be honest, the heartbeat of that team is Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. This running game with one of the better offensive lines in football. It's not going to be Baker in the passing game. True enough, Baker's got to make some plays, and he's got to do some things creatively with Kevin Stefanski in and outside of the pocket the way they did last year. But this team is going to be a run team, a play-action team, and they're going to count on Landry and Beckham to dictate coverage when they get one-on-one coverage because of the run game and because of the play-action. But, Bart, here's the thing. How many times have you and I both been hurt, and it's a lonely feeling when you're in the training room? You're not coming back on the field screaming loud, saying can't wait, doing all these different things. You're coming out there just trying to get your feet wet, just trying to fit in, just trying to be a part of the team. I think that's what Odell is going to do. Now, eventually, once he's healthy and making plays and proposing the field goal nets and all these different things, yeah, he's gonna do Odell. I'm sure it's gonna be an extra blonde streak in the hair somewhere at some point. But initially, Odell Beckham Jr. is gonna be humble because he doesn't really know how that knee's gonna react. And the last thing you want to do is be out there cutting a fool and your body's not healthy.
Yeah, look, Boog, I agree with you 100%. Here's the thing about Odell Beckham, and I heard you say this, Bart, about going out west. The worst thing that could happen for a guy like Odell is going to L.A. I think staying in Cleveland keeps him focused, keeps him engaged. It's about your environment. And I spoke to you earlier about this, about the Browns having that family-type feel. You saw the continuity towards the end of the season and the postseason. You saw the togetherness. And when you're a guy like Booger was saying, when you're a guy, right, that's injured and you sit on the outside and you're on the outside looking in and your team is having success without you, guess what? You're like, all right, look, I gotta get my stuff together and I have to come in. I don't need to be a distraction. I need to come in and find my way into this team, make sure that they accept me, not try to overstep or overlap my boundaries, make sure I do my part. And that's being the best guy at my position, doing my job every single night, whether that's blocking downfield, whether that's going out for those short wideouts or going deep threats or whatever the case may be. When my number is called, I just need to be ready. It's all about winning. And when the athlete is hurt, the most important thing that you want to do is just get back out there. Because then it gives you a different perspective on the game. Like, you have love for the game in any sport, but once you get injured, it's like, man, I would never take this for granted. And I think this is a humbling situation for Odell Beckham.
It is a humbling situation, but this is the narrative, and this is what's out there. He's the James Harden of football, right? He's a great, talented player, but you can't win with him. He hasn't won anything. He hasn't had an opportunity to be on the big stage. Now, Cleveland offers the big stage for him, but it only offers the big stage for him for 1 year, right? You know that next year he's not going to be on this team regardless. So if I can get myself out of here, go to L.A., you know Deshaun Jackson's always hurt. You want to go somewhere where you can get traded and maybe get a long-term contract, and they can maybe give you a 1 or 2 year deal, which will prorate some of his signing bonus so that they can fit underneath the salary cap. And he's playing with a superior talented quarterback in Matthew Stafford that's going to make him look great. And you know that's a team that's going to air it out. Like, for him to go into free agency next year.
But what have did the Browns get?
What did the Browns get in return?
Like, why are they going to do that?
Hey, man, you can have Cooper Kupp.
Come on.
But listen,
is this real or are we just playing fantasy? You can't give me widescreen for one side and not the other. It takes two to tango.
Well, they got a lot of great defense.
Man, somebody test Bart, man. He's talking about Cooper Kupp for Odell. Man, somebody give Bart a test.
But look, I was just playing with that one.
Just poking holes
Bart,
in that
listen,
one.
When you Bart, when you said that he's the James Harden of the NFL, right? What happened with James Harden when he went to the Brooklyn Nets? He sacrificed. Because he was sacrificing. Before he got injured, we was talking about how James Harden took a backseat to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant because he wanted to win. He came into their organization. He wanted to get traded there where they were already were. And I know it was for a short period of time, but this is what I'm saying. If you're about winning, right, and you come to that point in your life where you just want to win and you want to go somewhere, you want to fit in, like Odell's coming back, he's going to sacrifice. We witnessed that. We witnessed that with James Harden before he got injured. He took a backseat to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Here's the hole in your argument, Kendrick. What I'm trying to tell you is the Nets is the Rams. The Nets aren't Cleveland. He's already been there. That's a place where he hasn't been able to have success at.
Boog, you get the last word.
You know what? Here's the thing I'll say. the expectations in Cleveland are astronomical this year. I think that Odell Beckham Jr. has a lot to prove. I think the entire city of Cleveland has a lot to prove because this is going to be a position that they haven't been in before. This is the position of they are the hunted. Okay, people are looking at them saying, hey, we got to get up to Cleveland's level. When's the last time we said that? And so I think everybody's attitude in Cleveland is going to be different because of that. Now, how they start the season off, what they do in the first 68 games of the season, I think is going to dictate the attitudes in the second half. Kevin Stefanski did an outstanding job. I do think Odell Beckham Jr. is going to have a great year, but a great year may not be a Pro Bowl year. A great year may not be 80 catches and 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns. That's a great individual season. To me, a great year for Beckham is can he fit in the context of the team and help his team when you get to the postseason? I don't want to hear about empty stats in the regular season. Can you make an impact in the postseason? Because Bart and Kendrick, you know as well as I know, once an athlete arrives, he gets his money. And once you get your money, then we start to judge you by what? What you do in the postseason. So I think for Cleveland, especially Odell, he's at a point now where he's got his money. Okay, he got the 5 years, 95 from the Jets, which came over to Cleveland. Now, can you do something in the postseason where we remember you in the realm of some of the other great receivers that have gone through this league before?
Yeah, so basically you're saying no Miami boat trips. I get it. Odell's played 39 of 64 games after the last four seasons. Boog, always good to see you. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for the time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Tommy Brady is talking a lot more these days, and we love it. We're here for new Tom. The GOAT made headlines this summer with comments on HBO's The Shop, where he discussed getting snubbed by some teams in free agency, and everyone has been trying to figure out who he's referring to. Here he is talking to Jim Gray about those comments.
There's private things for me that are going to remain you know, motivational for me. So they know who they are. I mean, they know that the teams.
You think they know?
Yeah, the teams know who were probably interested. And yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just a reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance to have Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, my mind, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing.
I love this, Tom.
I love it.
Jordan, Gretzky, keep talking that talk, Tom. Tell them. They know what it is. There's not a lot of smart people
out there. The world
need
more Tom Brady.
Right? Yeah. If they want to pass on the GOAT, that's what it is. You see in all the competitiveness. Bart, what's your reaction to his comments right there?
Man, I love it, man. I love it. I mean, he gave us a glimpse of the new Tom Brady and Tom versus mm-hmm. time. But I tell you what, he's done what most old people do. They move down to Florida and they find themselves, right? He's out there getting that vitamin D. He's filling himself. And finally, he's finally realized his resume, right? He's like, man, I am the GOAT. He's putting himself on the Mount Rushmore of athletes, not just football players. He's saying Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, you might as well throw Muhammad Ali on there too, go for it. But I mean, I feel like this is like Tom Brady saying, you know what? And he's always in his mind that six-round draft pick that fell in the draft and everybody's sleeping on him. He's saying, no matter what, you're sleeping on me again. We saw this with Peyton Manning as well when the Colts gave up on him, saying, hey, great athletes are driven by this type of motivation. Because you're asking yourself, why wouldn't he ride off into the sunset after winning the Super Bowl last year? I think he wants to put the distance between himself and all great athletes so far that he can't, it's undeniable how great he was as just an athlete.
Well, look, we already know that Tom Brady is the GOAT, but I love this outspoken Tom Brady. And as mm-hmm. you get older, right, we would have never seen this back when he was with the Patriots, be this outspoken after Super Bowls. I mean, he say his piece on social media, but now he's doing interviews, and we love it for the simple fact I think he's embracing the moment as he's being a winner in the moment, knowing that he's getting up in age, already up in age, and he's embracing it, and he's telling us about it. I like that he's having these conversation. I like that he's letting the world know that he's not done. I like that he still has an edge. He still has the fight in him to go out there and want to win and prove people wrong. This is how the world should be. He's like, forget the age. I'm going to show you. I'm going to tell you about it after I win the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, and then I'm going to go back to Tampa Bay and try to repeat again. I love this about Tom Brady. The world needs more.
We all been around our grandparents, right? And what we love about our grandparents, they don't have a filter, right? They don't have time to waste time. Mm-hmm. Time is a waste of time. He's keeping it real. And sometimes it's keeping it real goes wrong. But listen, when you are able to win and be dominant like he is, you control the narrative. You know, he can say how mm-hmm. to feel. Say it with your chest, Tom. Go ahead.
And he's free and lighter. By the way, Adam Schefter had a great podcast and brought on Alex Guerrero, you know, his whole mm-hmm. guru. He's got him prepared for 3 years out. They're already working on his body. So he's not going anywhere anytime soon. Let's go to the Cowboys now, guys. Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones made a pretty good team. The Cowboys won 2 Super Bowls with Johnson as the head coach before he and Jones had a bitter divorce. Jerry got emotional when asked about that split.
He said, where's Jimmy? And I said, Jimmy's gone. He said, well, that's not right. Get him in here. I said, where's Jimmy? I said, Barry, Jimmy's gone. We're sitting here talking about you being the coach. I said, what in the world are you so anxious to talk to Jimmy about? He said, I just wanted to get both you little on this couch and ask you both, how could you this up? It was my job to keep it together. I've never been able to know why I f***ed it up.
Mm. Okay. Yep. So Jerry's taking all the blame for the fallout between he and Jimmy Johnson. This was many, many years later. Mm-hmm. Perk. Talk to me.
Well, look, Molly, let me say this. You know where Jimmy Johnson is from? He's from Port Arthur, Texas. He's from Southeast Texas. That's 7 to 10 miles away from Beaumont, Texas, right? The 4-9 boys. And when you have your chance to get your hands on gold like that from the Southeast Texas area, you have to embrace that. You have to keep that, all right? Because Jimmy Johnson is a gold mine. This man grew up around football. This man has been around football all his life. We saw what he did for that organization. And when you look at Jimmy Johnson and what he meant to to Dallas. He meant that to Jerry. But as you get up in age, right, like Boy said, you're going to speak your mind. Now Jerry Jones is coming out. He's saying, you know what? I messed that up. And big ups to him. I'm still not going to be a Cowboys fan, but I applaud Jerry Jones for acknowledging that he messed up by not keeping a young man, a man from the 409. That's the biggest mistake you could ever do, is let go of somebody from my area.
Look, Kendrick, this is a, listen, I'm more upset at Jerry Jones for even admitting this, right? Because really, this is about his ego, right? Because he's starting to see his mortality. He's saying, man, I haven't been, you know, been able to win consistently since I lost, you know, Jimmy Johnson, right? This ain't about him mending fences, right? This ain't about an apology, because if he was doing that, he would put him in a ring of honor. How can he not be in a ring of honor? He won you back-to-back championships. Mm. And the one that Switzer got was just basically because it was Jimmy Johnson's team. He set up the structure for it. So this is about him, worrying about himself and his legacy, because he wanted to prove it was about all his ego, because he wanted to be the main reason why the Cowboys was winning, right? Because he feels, because I played college football, I know just as much about football than Jimmy Johnson. They were supposed to be friends, buddies, and he burnt the bridges, and now he's seeing that he's getting older, his mortality, and if he would give up anything to win a Super Bowl, why not bring Jimmy Johnson back and bring him as a consultant?
I get that, Boy, but the first step to everything, right, is admitting that you're wrong, right? The second step is actually going out there and taking strides to make things better. And I think him going out there and acknowledging that he messed up, we do have to give him credit to that aspect, right?
Yeah, that's fair. Hmm. I always tend to be the person to apologize first, because at the end of the day, it's like, is it about being right or wrong, or do you care more about the relationship, right? So, yes, we will give him props on that, right, Perk? We will. I'll keep it moving here, guys. Major shakeup could be on the way in the world of college sports. According to a report in the Houston Chronicle, Oklahoma and Texas have reached out to the SEC about leaving the Big 12 and joining the conference. A Big 12 source was quoted saying, "This was inevitable. Oklahoma won a national championship in football in 2000, has been a playoff team four of the past six seasons. Meanwhile, Texas last won the national championship football. That was back in 2005 under Mac Brown." Here's Jimbo Fisher on those rumors swirling.
"And we're very happy where we're at, I know that. So while we're developing the culture and getting this program going to where we think it could go, and you know, being the SEC is, in my opinion, a big advantage to do that. I'll say this, though, be careful what you ask for when you jump on this leg."
My guy, Paul Feinbaum, love that guy. Bart, if Texas and Oklahoma get to the SEC, can they overtake Alabama as the top program in the SEC? You know, Nick Saban isn't going to be there forever.
Well, I think they can compete. I think Jimbo Fisher, you know, he's won, you know, when he was at Florida State. But also, I mean, you just talk about, you know, feeling bad for the Big 12, right? I think you can throw them right there with the Big East, right? Blow that thing up, because if those teams aren't in there, then there's no need to have a conference. So they have to go out and solicit, you know, other conferences, you know, to the highest bidder. I mean, that's why we have so many teams in the Big Ten right now, because now you're going to have these mega conferences and other teams can't compete. I mean, because you look at what's going on. If you want to be able to have an at-large bid, you want to be in the SEC so you can say, hey, you know, maybe we lost some games, but look at the conference we're in, because they put respect on the SEC.
Well, I'm going to say this. You know what? Texas and Oklahoma going into the SEC is going to put a lot of pressure on Alabama, and it's going to take away some of their recruits, right? A lot of kids, five-star recruits, go to Alabama. Why? Because they are in the SEC. And I get it. I'm not disrespecting the culture of Alabama, because they have developed something beautiful over there. But if you take Texas and you take Oklahoma, you take two football states, right, their recruits are going to stay home. So you have some guys that are probably leaving the state of Texas that probably signed with Alabama that's going to stay with Texas because they are in the SEC. I think it would be great for the SEC to add both of those ball clubs.
And the SEC is slowly becoming the professional league. You heard Nick Saban say, hey, well, you know, our starting quarterback Brady is getting his money not because he's the starting quarterback, it's because of the
Jesus
brand.
Jesus Christ.
And, you know, if you can come over there and get $1 million as a 17, 18-year-old kid, I mean, how many people are going to gravitate to that conference if they're giving out the biggest bags?
No, you're right. I'm glad you brought up the Big East. That was a heartbreaker for me, seeing the dismantling of that. Loved Big East basketball. All right, Giannis and the Bucks riding high after defeating the Suns in Game 6 of the NBA Finals, rightfully so, to win Milwaukee's first chip since 71. The Greek Freak continued his celebration yesterday morning with a victory breakfast at Chick-fil-A. Go on with your bad self.
So can I have, please, a 50-piece Mac Minis? 50, exactly.
Okay.
Not 51, Then 49. Chicken minis, yes. 50.
I love every second of that. Is he like the most likable guy right now? I mean, even just his little thing when he had the goggles doing that like little dance, that meme is going to be around forever.
I mean, you know what? Everything about Giannis is just likable right now. Mm-hmm. And you know why? Because he's celebrating it and he's unselfish with it. Like, he don't even notice. He was ordering those nuggets, but that's a memory for that young lady that she will remember for a lifetime, right? Yeah. You got Giannis Antetokounmpo, a future Hall of Famer, at your drive-thru taking your order on this Instagram Live, and you right there in the thick of things. Giannis don't even know, even without trying, he's touching people's soul.
Hey, Big Perk, I gave you your theme music when you get introduced. Time for the percolator. I got one for Giannis as well. Mike Jones dropping Give Me 50 should be his theme music right now. You know what I'm saying? So next time you go in the background, it should be Mike dropping Jones. Give Me 50. Mike Jones!
Mike Jones!
Oh my goodness.
But honestly, and also just the simple fact that he stayed in Milwaukee, small market team. It was not the sexy team. Like we talk about some other guys. He didn't join a super team. And, you know, he mentioned that in terms of doing it the right way, kind of that old school mentality. So there's even more respect, obviously, because of that as well. All right, we'll leave it there. Big Perk, thank you kindly. Bart Scott, appreciate you as well. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.